Yeah, we're going to talk about praying the Bible, because we were talking about there about forms of prayer, about other people's words for prayer, but of course the model we have for that is the Lord's Prayer, which is Scripture. Jesus encourages us to pray Scripture by giving us the Lord's Prayer to pray, and Christians throughout the years have found it very helpful to pray the Scriptures as well. So I have a few quotes here for you. So Robert Murray McChen said, "Turn the Bible into prayer. This is the best way of knowing the meaning of the Bible and of learning to pray." And John Piper said, "Open the Bible, start reading it, and pause at every verse and turn it into prayer." It's a very simple thing, but maybe it's not something that we always think of. But if prayer is delighting in our relationship with God, if prayer is about this communion we have with God, if prayer is about being brought into this loving fellowship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then it's not supposed to be some boring duty. That it's not supposed to be some task that we have to cross off our daily to-do list. It's not about watching the clock to see, have I fulfilled enough minutes of prayer that I've been supposed to be praying today? But rather, it's supposed to be something we enjoy, something where it's not just the same old thing that I do every day, the same words that I pray every day for the same people, for the same requests, in exactly the same way that I've been praying for the last 27 years or whatever it is. It's not supposed to be a boring duty, but something we delight in. So I've got another John Piper quote for you here. "If I try to pray for people or events without having the word in front of me guiding my prayers, then several negative things happen. One is that I tend to be very repetitive. I just pray the same things all the time. Another negative thing is that my mind tends to wander." So he finds that the solution is to pray with the Bible in front of him. Because if prayer is this conversation with God that we're supposed to enjoy, then it involves, we don't want just a one-sided conversation, do we? We don't generally go to people we're in a good relationship with and just give them a 25-minute monologue and then say, okay, bye-bye, I'll see you tomorrow, and repeat every day. But no, we want to hear from him as well. So when we pray with the Bible in front of us, when we pray from Scripture, then we're praying in response to what God is saying. God speaks to us, and we respond in prayer, that he initiates the conversation. We talked about how Jesus and the Holy Spirit are involved in our prayer lives last month as well. So Jesus leads us in prayer. Remember, we talked about him as our mediator and our great high priest and our intercessor. We talked about how he purifies and our prayers and presents them perfect to the Father. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit helps us pray, and he prays for us when we don't know how to pray. So Jesus is leading us in prayer. The Holy Spirit is helping us to pray. So that means our prayer life involves both the Word, Christ is the Word, and the Spirit. So we have Word and Spirit together in our life of prayer. And you can't separate Word and Spirit, because you can't separate Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You can't divide up the Trinity. That they always go, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are always there together. So we can't separate Word and Spirit in our prayer life. So using the Word of God, using the Scriptures in our prayer life, that's a way that the Holy Spirit guides us as we pray. That's a way that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. The Holy Spirit has inspired the Scriptures. And one of the reasons that Scripture has been given to us is to lead us in prayer, because the Spirit works always through the Word. Jesus says in John 14, verse 13, he says, "Whatsoever you ask in my name," that's quite a famous verse when Jesus talks about whatsoever you ask in my name. Now, if we're going to pray and see our prayers answered, the Father's going to answer the prayers we ask in Jesus' name, then we want to know that we're praying in Jesus' name. We want to know that we're praying with his authority. We want to know that we're praying for the things that he wants us to be praying for. And if we allow the Scriptures to guide us in prayer, then we don't just think that we're praying for things that are in God's will. But we know it because God has inspired the scriptures, that these are Christ's word to us, that we know we're praying with his authority because we're praying with his word. Now, I've got an example from Acts in the early church. Oh yeah, I keep forgetting about this relationship. Because people said the diagram last time, so I brought it back this time, and then I keep forgetting to show you. So we have the church's prayer in Acts chapter 4. The early church, they have a prayer meeting in Acts chapter 4. When they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Let's have a look at the next slide. Oh no! Well, if we'd seen the next slide, part of this would have been coloured in, because half this prayer is just word for word quoting from the scriptures. So, we've got at the start, hang on, I need to stand where I can see it. Oh there, it's come. Right, so the next one please. So here, "Who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them" is a quote from Psalm 146, verse 6. And "Why do the nations rage?" that section is a quote from Psalm 2, verses 1 to 2. So the early church, when they met together to pray, they used the scriptures to pray. So how do we do this? Let's take a few examples. So we're going to take a couple of examples from different parts of the Bible. Let's take a psalm, first of all. Because that's a good place to start. The Psalms are given to us to pray. So, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the center." Now, if we're going to pray this is the start of Psalm 20. If we're going to pray this, maybe we read the first verse, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you," that we might pray and give thanks for how God has helped us in days of trouble. We might be going through some troubles at the moment, and that might inspire us to pray about those troubles that we're going through, trusting in the God who has helped us in troubles in the past, trusting in God who's delivered us out of the greatest trouble of all, because he's delivered us from death, hell, sin, and the devil, and giving thanks for what he has done to save us, trusting in the same God to deliver us from this trouble now, that we look to the God of Jacob to defend us, that we have a God we can rely on, that we see through the whole history of the people of Israel, through the whole history of the church, how God has defended his people. We give him thanks and praise for the way he's always been our great defense. And we look to him because he sends help from the sanctuary. The sanctuary, that's heaven, that's his holy of holies. And we give him thanks and praise that he has not just sent some help here on earth, but he has sent his own Son from the heavenly holy of holies to come into this earth to bring us his salvation. That Jesus is the one who strengthens us out of Zion, the hill of the Lord, that we know that in Zion Christ was crucified for us, and now he brings us to the heavenly city of Zion, and we can rejoice that we have access to the holy place, that we are strengthened by the Son of God and by the Spirit of God. And we give thanks that we don't need to come with burnt sacrifices and offerings, because we have that once for all sacrifice that has been offered for us. And the psalm goes on. Well, the psalm does go on anyway.
We're
slightly stuck now because all my examples are on the PowerPoint so we can see the scriptures. Anyway, so as we read through each verse, then it causes us to think about things that are in those verses. Now, sometimes we might think of something tangential that might not be really particularly relevant. We might read the word offerings there, and we might we might suddenly think of our offerings that we give in church, and we might God might lead us then to pray about our tithes and offerings, and or maybe there's something special coming up to give to in church, and we want to know what we should be giving. And actually, that's nothing to do with the interpretation of that verse, but as we see things like that, as we're reading along, because as we're praying from the scriptures, we're not actually reading and interpreting, and we're not doing our exegesis of the scriptures. But if something, a thought comes along like that, that we might be tempted to dismiss it as a distraction because it's not actually what it's talking about, but actually, it might. Don't treat those things as distractions. When we're distracted in prayer, treat the things that distract us in prayer as prompts to pray for those things instead. The psalm goes on, but let's just go to the end. Let's not do the whole of Psalm 20 because we don't have time. And we'll go on to another example. I just want to say a few other things about praying from the Psalms. So, the Psalms are words that the Lord has expressly inspired for us to speak and to sing to him. We are commanded in the New Testament to use the Psalms, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, in Ephesians 5. Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Actually, these are Christ's words. You know, wisdom, teaching, and admonishing, and singing to one another in psalms. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms in James 5. So we're commanded to use the psalms. And these are words which Jesus prayed. This is the word of Christ that dwells in us richly. Remember last time we talked about how Calvin said that when we pray in Jesus' name, it's as if we're praying through his mouth. We come and actually use words that he did pray himself. Psalm 22, Jesus prayed from the cross. We know throughout his life he would have used all the other psalms because they were all regularly used but in the worship of the people of God in the time Jesus was on earth. Another thing here, we read the psalms, and you might wonder, well, if we pray from the psalms, Jesus isn't explicitly mentioned in the psalms, this is the Old Testament. The Psalms are looking forward to the coming of Christ. We read them looking backwards with Christ coming, so we read them through spectacles. And the spectacles we read them through are the cross. Like that example I gave you, that we don't need burnt offerings anymore. But we can give thanks that we don't need those, because we have a much better once and for all sacrifice. The next one then. No. I had a little quote for you as well because the Psalms cover the whole range of human emotion. Athanasius said, whatever your particular need or trouble, from this same book you can select a form of words to fit it. So no matter how we feel, no matter what we're going through, there's an appropriate psalm to pray. There are a lot of psalms, and sometimes we might wonder, spend all our time picking a psalm to pray today. And a handy thing that Christians have used in the past is what they call Psalms of the Day, where to divide the month so that there are 5 psalms appointed to each day in the month, so you don't have to flick through 150 psalms to decide which one you're going to pray today. That choose from the 5, and the way to find out which one it is today is it's the day of the month, and then add 30 until you've got 5 psalms. So on the first day of the month, it's 1, 31, 61, 91, 121. But I've put that chart in for you. On the 31st day of the month, if there is one, it's Psalm 119, which does come up another day, but it's very long, so you're probably not going to have used the whole thing. there you go. Let's take the next example. We don't have time for Zechariah. We will skip Zechariah. And we'll move on to Acts. Because I just want to give you an example of something that we might not think is so easy to pray from in our portion of Scripture. The former account I made of Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself after his sufferings alive, after by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And we might be thinking, well, that's just the introduction and a recap of Luke. Let's skip over it. But we can pray from this too, because we can give thanks to God for what Jesus
did do and teach. And give thanks to God that that was only the beginning, that Jesus is still at work today. And we can pray that we would see Christ at work in our lives. We can pray for Christ's work in other people that we know have needs. We can pray for Christ's work in our assembly, in the national church. We can give thanks that Jesus has been taken up, that he is seated at the right hand of God, that he is there interceding for us, that he's there presenting our prayers to the Father, and that he's going to come back again as well for us. We can give thanks that he has given his commandments to his apostles. He's given his word, that we know who our God is and what he's like, that we have the word to guide and to direct us. Pray that we would be diligent in reading his word and in applying his word in our lives. We can give thanks that he has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and pray that he would raise up more servants for his work. We can give thanks that he has presented himself alive after suffering by many valuable proofs, that our faith is not based on a theory, but our faith is rooted in history, that that Jesus really is alive. We give thanks for that. We can pray that we would be able to speak to others and show them the truth that Jesus is alive, and be able to answer their questions about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's lots we can pray in, even from narrative passages. Now, sometimes we might not want to go through verse through a narrative passage. We might want to get the big point of a narrative passage of Scripture. But there are things even in the narrative passages that we can pray. We'll go on. We'll skip Ephesians as well. What if we get stuck with a verse when we're praying? Well, we can pray, Lord, what does this mean? We can pray, Lord, please show me how I can pray from this Scripture. Or you can move on to the next verse. That's fine. God doesn't say you have to pray a prayer from every verse of Scripture before you can read the next one. And what if we get distracted? Well, consider your distractions as prompts to prayer. Pray for the things that are distracting you, or the people that are distracting you, the things that pop into your head. Pray for them. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words that I speak to your spirit and their life." So when we pray the words of Scripture, we're not just praying ordinary words. We're praying words of spirit and life. Now, I have a task for you. Let's go on. I'm giving you 7 minutes to perform this task. Your mission, whether or not you choose to accept it, is to spend the next 7 minutes, and you're going to turn in your Bible. Does anyone not have a Bible? Because I can get you one. You're going to turn in your Bible and look at Psalm 23. And what I want you to do is not spend 7 minutes reading Psalm 23, but just go through. Start at the beginning. Start with the first verse. Read the first verse and pray. Pray through each verse. And maybe some of you will only get halfway through verse 1. I don't know. In the 7 minutes. Maybe some of you have prayed the whole Psalm and got on to Psalm 24 in the 7 minutes. If it's okay. If the time hasn't run out, you can just keep going. if you want to take your chair apart a little bit, just whatever you want to do, but I am going to stop. We're going to take 7 minutes in silence, let you pray, because if I tell you it's good to pray for Scripture and send you home, and you might think, oh, that's good, I'll try it sometime and never get around to trying it. So I'm going to force you to try it now, and then we're going to have a little bit of feedback and see what it was like. Okay?